Hello. It's May 19th, 2022. Thursday. Today's podcast is on the subject of the Sooners and the Laters and the Nowers. Lately, I've been reviewing, listening to podcasts of those who have resigned from the church and left either emotionally or with their testimony being shaken or reduced because of certain events that have transpired since the controversy of Adam God. In this broadcast, I want to say that there was a turning point in 1976. Nine presidents of the church since Brigham Young have felt not to say anything to diminish the teachings of Brigham Young. Perhaps Spencer W. Kimball did not mean to associate false doctrine with previous general authorities and some of their views on Adam and God and the eternal round of creations. What happened there was the church education system was being addressed by Spencer W. Kimball, and he said another matter. He advised that the those who teach in the various organizations were to teach the orthodox truth. To me, truth is a usable knowledge. Section 93 of the Doctrine and Covenants defines truth as a knowledge of things as they were, as they are, and as they are to come. Now, many beings know the truth, such as Lucifer, for example. He knows truth. He could not lie intentionally, having any purpose to his lies, unless he knew the truth. To mislead and redirect people away from the I single to the glory of God. Apparently, he has an I single to his own glory. And with that position, we're faced with the idea that he's using the truth, directing us to a path of darkness. And Jesus, on the other hand, would lead us on a path of light and progression. So we have light and darkness, both knowing truth, in opposition to each other. It would then be important for us to choose between light and darkness. Now, controversy that's part of this website concerning Adam God, I found useful to develop our personal thinking systems or system. And what we have here is a turning point. 1976, when Spencer W. Kimball's announcement of another matter concerning orthodoxy was presented, and many have taken it to be equivalent to the revelations in the book of the commandments or the Doctrine and Covenants. And those who have done that have found it to support their views, their particular way of looking at it. Brigham Young said that every man sooner or later would know the doctrine, whether professing Christians or not. As said before, nine previous presidents avoided this subject and classified it as incomplete revelation or advanced doctrine needing further elucidation or explanation. But with the pronouncement of teaching only orthodoxy, we have a reduction in the amount of exploration into that among the teachers of the church. I have found that I'm going to use the same pattern that Brigham Young did to allow such ideas to exist side by side. Orson Pratt definitely did not endorse or sustain Brigham Young in that doctrine. There was a running debate between Brigham Young and Orson. And therefore, Brigham Young, without getting full unity, did not present the doctrine at that time, which would have been a doctrine if it would have been institutionalized by the church and presented in every level. Actually, I recall at this moment that they even had Sunday school songs about it and other publications, which and also conference talks and other addresses by those at general authorities which felt to have a testimony of it. But at any way you look at it, it was left in suspension. And so that's how I've done it. Both the theories or perspectives are useful. This perspective of Brigham Young that he presented when he was explaining beyond this earth viewpoint or other worlds, he most definitely said that other worlds have redeemers and deceivers, just like we have here on this earth. Those pointing people to either the darkness or to the light. Now, how do we use this controversy to develop personal thinking system? In future logics, we have a concept that is described through a acronym, a dual acronym, which is called DMP. DMP represents both simultaneously direct mental processing and direct mind perception. The direct mental processing is taking the left side of the brain's attributes and processing them in an orderly, linear, and step-by-step method or through logic. The right side of the brain is visual and perceptive and colorized. and also nuances, and it can hold many different opinions, perspectives, and viewpoints simultaneously, reducing them into a visual concept or a concept that's pictorial. The other one reaches, the left side, reaches a conclusion or a point or an end to the processing. So we have processing and perception. Both are necessary for a complete mental well-being. So what is the in-between? The physical brain has a connective tissue or neural network communicating between both hemispheres of the brain, which is the corpus callosum. And surrounding that are other functional gyrus, and such as the cingulate gyrus and so on. They help coordinate the two hemispheres of the brain in presenting a full consciousness of both things that are seen in a global way and those that are seen in a local way. Our everyday life tells us that most things are practical if seen locally. All of the objects around us are moving at the same rate we are. Therefore, everything seems stationary and moving with us. And it seems like I have a computer, three computers off to my right here, and two of them are active. One of them is recording this podcast right now, and they're not moving except internally. Internally, they have hard drives, the old technology, not solid state, and they're moving parts. I can hear the fan and all of that. That's the only moving things in this room that's background noise to this podcast. But on the other hand, I know that this Earth is in rotation around its axis, and the Earth itself is in an orbit around the Sun, and we know that the Sun is in orbit around some point in the galaxy, and the galaxies are in motion around each other, and it goes on in one very large galactic and intergalactic coordinated activity. So the right brain tells me I'm really moving in such a way that I don't even know how to describe even mathematically how and where I'm moving, but everything around me is also moving at the same rate. Therefore, it feels and looks and perceives as a stationary room, except for the fans and the internal hard drives that are in motion. And, of course, my activity of being podcasting at this moment belays the realization that we're not completely static here. Now, engineering finds a static reference system or coordinate system most useful to predicting physical and engineering projects are almost impossible in a reference system that's also in motion. But if you're going to travel in space and you're going to bring planets into orbit around suns or stars to provide energy and heat, you're going to have to expand your view and apply the ideas that the right side of the brain can do so well. If you're going to deliver a speech, you may prepare yourself by studying all of the particular viewpoints of those whom you're going to address. And then at the time of the delivery of it, you're going to coalesce all of the ideas you've studied on into a speech or a directed thought process. In a similar manner, the controversy between old brethren and new brethren gives you a place to exercise your abilities, your talents, your discernment, your sensitivity to the Holy Ghost, to expand your consciousness, to use your imagination, discernment, judgments, estimations, assumptions, and build greater processing by making very discerning and educated assumptions, and also expand your visual, pictorial, global view of all things considered, such as government, global intrigue, wars, all of that impacting your individual personal life. And so with this controversy, you can play between the two perspectives and use your current operating system mentally to weigh and make judgment and to be sensitive to the whole picture. In the beginning of the church, it was necessary to inspire people to leave other countries and come to the deserts of the Great Basin of the Salt Lake area. And so in the stimulus of imagination, everything had to be disclosed. And when people came here, Brigham Young opened up the imagination and taught everything. And today, teaching everything would lose some membership. The boggling of the mind of looking at everything from the perspective of God, where worlds without number have been created and organized and peopled and populated, and where testing is done to see whether everyone would obey the commandments and follow the path of light or choose the path of darkness. In both of these scenarios, they all gain knowledge by coming to an earth and living their life out. I think death was necessary to maintain a order in such that those who have a bent to evil or darkness don't gain too much supremacy over those that are meek and lowly and humble followers of Christ or the truth in a lit form. We find that the parable of the 10 virgins comes to mind at this point. There was those that came and burnt their oil as by extending the wick until the light flamed and produced more light, but it was consuming more oil. Now, the wise virgins, in opposition to the foolish virgins, were also trimming the wick. In other words, the just enough of the wick was allowed to extend out of the oil so that there was enough burning there to maintain the fire. Wouldn't need the process of reigniting it. And they also wanted to both be in the light. The ones who were foolish are celebrating their on the coming of the groom to knock on the door, and they would follow the wedding procession. But those that were wise had brought in extra oil in another vessel. So there's the oil in the vessel, which the five wise ones brought with them. And there's the oil in the lamp itself. And they were being conservative. And not just conservative, they were being prospective, looking forward to a possible need for the other oil. The journey after the Lord comes and knocks on the door and takes them to the wedding chambers and celebrations, they may need more light later. So the need for light demanded that they brought in a reservoir in a vessel of oil. And also they needed to maintain a light while they were in the waiting mode, waiting for the bridegroom to come. So if we are foolish virgins, we want to broadcast our light as in a celebratory method or way and consume the light, which brings us closer to a point of darkness, because when you run out of the oil, the light extinguishes. Now, we don't want our light to be extinguished. And so they heard the Lord coming, and they say the groom is coming. It was an announcement. And then they realized that they needed oil for the journey that they would have to take and to light the pathway. And the ones were panicked now, and they asked those that had a reservoir, "Give us some of your oil." And they said, "Not so. Go to them that buy and sell." Buy and sell. In other words, you have to go and do what we did, only it might be too late to do it because the groom's at the door. So both of them had oil. Oil represents the doctrine of the priesthood. And they both had enough to light the room where they were expecting the arrival of the groom. But neither of them had the concern for the other, because if too much oil is spread too thin, you don't have enough light to travel the journey to the wedding chamber. And so the austere directive of go to them, buy and sell was given to those foolish virgins. And the Lord did come and take the five to the wedding. To some, it's a mystery why Jesus would use a parable supporting a marriage form that his ancestors participated in. His ancestors were those such as David and Solomon and Moses, for example, and Abraham and Jacob, who became Israel. All of these things were never condemned. And so this controversy, it will be answered when the day of the resurrection brings forth Abraham and Israel and all of those that participated in that ancient form of marriage. Now, this seems like it's way off the track of this controversy between the Sooners and Laters, so I'm going to be more specific of what a sooner is. There's some people who have enough oil and light, maybe in respect here, I would say a thinking system, to be able to use to live in this chaotic world. And they are represented by the wise. And they have abundance of oil for the trip or the journey, or the covenant path, as they say in current church orthodoxy. So we see, how does the sooners? The sooners would be those who understand what Brigham was teaching, that it extended beyond this earth and was a description of things that occurred in the eternal round, where worlds without number have been created, some coming new into creation and others passing away through the passage of much time, eons and epochs. So the two viewpoints, the local and the grand view. Now, there was a choice in 1976 as to which one of them to offend. You can't teach both of them. Well, at least the decision was made that you can't teach both of them. And so orthodoxy was adopted. And some were concerned that some testimonies would be shaken or lost, and it was said in some meetings, so be it. I think they were more concerned of which of these perspectives, doctrines, would sustain the most membership. It is difficult to understand what Brigham taught if you're not prepared or taught concerning worlds without number and the process of gods throughout the cosmos, preparing places for their children to live. It's a big idea. On the other hand, it's simple to teach that we just need to keep simple commandments, go to church, obey the rules, keep yourself pure and chaste and ready for a good marriage so that your family can benefit from your wholesome lifestyle. And so it was probably decided that there was too much complexity to teach and educate everybody. And besides, I agree with this part, that start with the simplest first, Occam's razor. The idea that's simplest is probably the best idea. So when you're faced with the two, you choose the simplest idea. And which means those that are disturbed by this contradiction is going to have to present themselves with an alternative. And that's why the title of this is The Nowers. We have to become the Nowers. Those people that look within themselves and find personal growth, increase their knowledge, gain experience and skill in discerning between truth and error and falsehood. When it comes to money, you want the coin of the realm to be genuine. You don't want a counterfeit. And so most people find ways of detecting phony money from real money or fake money. The same in the news. We have to look at the news and decide which political camp it's coming from and seeing if it's just a politicized... And so we have to be skilled to find out what's really going on. And so this is the knowers, the ones who have become discerners. They're using the gifts of God. There's a list of those in the scriptures. Some of those are such as speaking in tongues or being able to interpret tongues, being able to prophesy, receiving the spirit of prophecy, to heal. Also to be able to discern between a false prophet and a true prophet. And that goes between false apostles and true apostles. Jesus said, I have chosen you, speaking of the 12, and one of you is a devil. Well, here you have the Lord Redeemer adding to the quorum of the 12 a devil to fulfill the purposes of his father. Without that, perhaps things would have turned out differently. No one would have betrayed him and we wouldn't have had the atonement. But all things are happening in the, according to the will of the Father. So here we have the possibility that we have to look at all of the apostles, prophets, and leaders of the church as men, real men, with all of the things that being born to this world has brought. And some men choose to be looking at things in their own way, and others choose to try to educate them more in such a way that they see things from other people's point of view. Now, if those that are narrow-minded get into positions, they will tend to want others to see things the same way they do. But we're not required to just think like other people. We're required to learn how to think on our own. I believe currently and just recently, President Russell M. Nelson asked the youth, those 18 to 30, to take ownership of their own testimony. And they have to learn to learn their true identity, that their divinity is in them. And they need to awaken it and direct it towards the light and follow the covenant path. That's good advice. He also included the idea of not just labeling yourself according to the way the world labels each other. The world wants to label people white, black, educated, uneducated, ignorant. He wants to label them to be those that are of this ethnic origin or that. And then play those against each other for political agendas. I believe that's sometimes called identity politics. Politics is one of the other things that's not spoken of too much in the church because it tends to divide. And you can be in church side by side with someone who has completely alien political views according to your viewpoint and vice versa. So it's a protocol or a politeness to refrain from political divisions. I think that's a good idea. The time to express that is when you get voted. And the voting time is at hand right this year. But back to the idea of controversy being a benefit to you. What it does is it sets at level, equal, two authorities. Let's say Brigham Young against Spencer W. Kimball. And the two of them hold the same office keys and everything. And so if we're going to use a hierarchical authority system to determine truth or light or darkness or falsehood, you are going to have two of them speaking against each other. That places all the responsibility back on your own shoulders, where you're going to have to do your homework, dig into it, and not be, as President Russell M. Nelson has said, lazy learners and lax disciples. And lazy learners will let somebody else teach them whatever, and because it's a lot of hard work to do your studies. Lax disciples are those that don't want to expend the energy to do like Jesus and keep the commandments. Jesus was an exciting person. He pointed out to the community around him that there were vipers and whited sepulchres, and that they were following false doctrine, and that he was there to teach life and life more abundantly. And he did it frankly, and his intensity of words was very strong. They excommunicated Jesus. They sent him and were going to cast stones at him many times because of what he said. He had ideas which would bring peace to this earth if listened to, but there are people who profit on war and conflict and make money off of it. I was thinking of this one person who trolls the media, and his ethnic origin is Jewish. And the Jews wrote that this troll, I won't mention his name, is making money off of trolling, you know, inciting the opposition to see things in a surprising way. Making money. Well, money is a divider. There's poor and there's the rich. The rich tends to have more resources and more influence, where the poor have to be more resourceful and use what resources they do have efficiently and with more application of invention and knowledge and discovery. So what happens to rich people is they think they can write out a check and solve their problems. Those who can't do that because their bank account's smaller have to find another way, a simpler way, or use what they do have to accomplish this deficit. Now, if you want to learn more, just going to pay for an education will teach you how to learn in an institutional manner. But to really learn something, find out where your heart directs you and spend time learning it because you just want to. You just will dig into it, open the nuts and knock on them until they break open and you can see the inside. Crack open the rocks, find the minerals. Knock on doors and speak to those who are of not just the like mind, but also different minds, so that you can see things from many points of view. We will benefit from controversy if it's constructive to you. And what determines the difference between a constructive controversy and a destructive is you yourself, your own experience, your own life, time, your age. All of this works together so that even if born to poverty, you can change things. So what we have in this podcast, which is running a little longer than I expected because some of these concepts are not so simple, even though they can be reduced to a simple expression. We should let the two controversies concerning this lay side by side like Brigham did, where he allowed Orson Pratt to maintain his membership and in the hopes of him. And I think Brigham Young liked the idea of somebody challenging him and presenting good questions so that it would stimulate conversation and ideas. Any group of people who think exactly the like, all members of it have the same opinion, the same ideas, see nothing different. And then anybody outside that small circle is canceled or persecuted or redirected or made poor. I think that's wrong, at least from my point of view. I think there should be diversity of ideas, and education should be free to all. Now, there's education for money, and there's education for personal improvement. There's lifelong learning that comes from an insatiable curiosity. And then there's lifelong learning because you're a professor and you're teaching constantly. I have an uncle who said he has a doctorate degree in history, and he says the most profound understanding in history in his conversation that he had ever met was a man that was a self-learner. He was actually a custodian at the school he was a principal of. And he asked him, why don't you go to school and use all this knowledge you have? And he says, well, I won't have time to learn what I want to know. School's a negative for me. If I spend my time learning at school, I won't be directed according to the things that enlighten me. My personal self-discoveries have come by my intuitions. And so here we have the self-learner versus the learned. And the Book of Mormon says, to be learned is good if you hearken unto the counsels of God. And the counsels of God is that what Jesus said. He said, behold the lilies of the field, how they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I tell you that Solomon in all his glory, and Solomon did have glory, was not clothed like one of these. One of the metaphors of biblical expression is the clothing represents your education. And what he was comparing is wildflowers, the lilies of the field, and that's a Hebrew expression meaning the wildflowers. That the wildflowers, those that have learned through the counsels of God, was not clothed like Solomon in all his glory. So we have a comparison there of those that have learned naturally through the Spirit of God and the knowledge that there is more than what you can see in this universe, this wonderful place we're living in, which doesn't move unless you understand that it is moving. My three computers are still here. It didn't move while I was podcasting here at this moment. So to put this all down, to close within a 45-minute period, I think is long enough. Let us be lilies of the field, to be clothed in greater glory than Solomon and all his wealth and gold and his power as the monarch of a nation. And let controversies lay side by side so that you can see them both equally. And then use your experience, your systemized thought, your intuitions, your insights, to pick and choose what is really true, what is really light, what is for your benefit, because no one else can really live your life for you. I've heard some say, why don't the brethren just tell us what to do? Like they did when we were under the home teaching program. Now we're under the ministerial. We're ministers of the Lord and seeking to help one another and benefit one another because of our society. We're trying to build a Zion society. At this point, I want to say that it's worked for me. It's been a heuristics to look at both current orthodoxy and the orthodoxy that grew out of our pioneer forefathers. I have pioneers that were part of the movement to come to this valley. On my mother's side, some of the most faithful, and they're still faithful to this day. On my dad's side, not so much. They were different. They came from Europe. My grandma came from a place where she could hear Russian, Hebrew, well, it was actually Yiddish, and Dutch and all of this other languages. And so she grew up with five languages. But her father had a dream in the which he saw two strangers come to his door, and that he was to listen to them. They were missionaries of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And when they came and knocked on there, he opened it and he recognized their faces from the dream. And he said to his wife, Bertha, my dream is here. And he left everything to follow this dream. And this is how it is. Sometimes we have to follow our dreams and follow them personally. I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.